15 through 23 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, and focusing, honing in on verses 22 and 23 of that chapter. But I'll begin now at verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. Dear precious people of God, hear His word. Beginning verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the Lord over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. May the Lord bless His precious word to our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Once again, Lord, we do ask Your blessing upon this, our service. May our prayers be heard, our praises, the songs that we sing, as well as the word that we receive into our hearts, into our minds, and go home like good Bereans and check them out. Check it out against Your word. And we pray that You would bless us in our holy endeavor this day. In Your name, bless us now, we pray. Amen. Well, one thing that has been pointed out by others, and of course I've noticed as I read these several scriptures, these several verses once again, is how thankful the apostle was for the Ephesians. That it just warmed his heart that when he heard about them, he heard about their love towards Jesus Christ. And it just warmed him so much so that he said, I'm thankful for you. And it's in that thankfulness that I'm praying for you. And so he was motivated by his love of Jesus, their love, their expression of love towards Jesus, and by his thankfulness for all this, he was motivated to pray. And what he prays, do you notice how he prays here? He prays for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge to come upon them and to enlighten them so that they may, in verse 18, so that they may know what is the hope of his calling. And the hope of his calling is what? That the people who know God through Jesus Christ have a great future ahead of them, an inheritance, right? An inheritance that will not fade away, as the apostle Peter says, but it's stored for us. It's reserved for us in heaven. And he's praying that they begin to understand hope, have hope in their calling, in God's calling, and also that they would be enriched what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, that your riches are beyond description. The world cannot be compared. All the things that you have now certainly can't be compared to what's in store. The riches that you will inherit through your being called by God. And he also prays that the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, there's a power that you've been given even now. It's towards you. I'm praying that you understand that you grow in wisdom towards that avenue, that your hope would grow, that you'd realize the riches of your inheritance, and that you would also meditate upon and be thankful for the power of God that is in you. That same power, he continues in the very next verse, verse 20, which is he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So that power that raised Christ from the dead, here it is. You've heard me say this before. Many others have said it as well. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is abiding in you, in everyone. That's how come you believe. Because he rose you to life. You were dead in trespasses, but he brought you, he quickened you, he brought you to life, and now you embrace the Savior against all odds, right? Against every other voice out there that's against Christ. And there are many, and we hear them all the time in one way or another, don't we? And that power that raised Christ is alive and well in you. Also, that set him at the right hand of God in heaven, giving him all power and authority. Remember, he said before he departed that all power, all authority in heaven and in earth is given to me. That power, that authority that Christ has is with you. That is an amazing prayer and an amazing truth that we as Christians should really meditate about and think about and appreciate all the more. Because there are many things that we are with which we're involved, right? Nothing wrong. You got to be involved. But this gospel, this Christianity is the most precious thing that you have in your life. And that needs to be communicated not only to yourself, of course, which I'm doing here, all of us need to appreciate it, but to our family, our friends, our co-workers, fellow students, wherever, whomever, that this is my life, this is my love of life, this is the most precious thing to me. Not that other things aren't precious and we're thankful for them all, yes, but this is the most precious of all. And Paul's praying, if I may put it in a word simply, he's praying for Christianity. He's praying for their religion, their holy religion, to swell up and overcome them in a good way. So I want to talk about him being Lord of all. I want to talk about him, Jesus, being filling all. In the third place, I want to talk about the church filling him. That's an interesting concept. That's in verse 23. And then finally, just a conclusion of the whole thing. So the first thing is the Lord of all. What does that mean? Then he fills all. What does that mean? And that the church fills Christ. What does that mean? And then we'll come to the conclusion of the matter. Well, that he fills all in two ways, right? When pointed out that he fills all. He fills all of the universe, right? In other words, all the power and all the authority that he has is over the universe. Not just the earth, but everywhere. The heavens and the heavens of heavens. He is the authority. He is the power. He fills all in all in the universe. But that's in the general and broad sense. But in the particular sense, he fills all. He's Lord of all in the church. And so we know from the scripture, again and again, the Great Commission and other scriptures as well, that he has all the authority now. He has all the power. It's been given to Jesus Christ. So we would do well to be on his side, right? Anyone would do well. I mean, talk about doing well. We do well, and we want to tell people this. You would do well to be on the side of the one who has all power and authority in the universe. Almighty. All God, right? Verse 22, and has put all things under his feet and give him the given him the head to be the head over all things to the church. So he's not only the head of all things in the universe and on earth, but he's the head of the church. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that's the second thing that we want to note here, that he is Lord of everything. He's sovereign Lord over everything, and in particular of the church. Now, what does that mean when we say that he is Lord of all things, he's the head of all things, to the church? Well, it means two things, right? There are two things being pointed out by commentators, at least two things. There may be more than that, of course. But the first thing is, when it says that he is head to the church, that he's over the church, it means that he's protecting her, that he is, that she is part of him, right? He's the head and she's the body, right? Head and body. And they are together. They cannot be separated. And he cares. She is precious. The church, which is made up of the elect, the true believers everywhere, the church of Jesus Christ is very precious to him. It's his body. And who doesn't care and cherish his own body? And so Jesus is head of the body and protecting her against all enemies. And that leads to the second thing. It's sort of a legal thing. He's the king, right? He's the king. And we are his servants, servant sons and daughters. And as servant sons and daughters, he is going to protect us as our king from all enemies, inside and outside. So much so that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So you know that there's all kinds of people against the Church of Jesus Christ and against us as Christians individually. Well, they're not just against us. They're not really against us. They're against God. They're against Jesus Christ. And that, again, is not a good position to take, to have. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be the head of the greatest nation on earth, like the United States, and be against Christ, against his ways. That's not a good idea. Or you can say, I'm not against Jesus, I'm against you, Christian. That's not a good idea. Remember what God said, and the prophet said, that he who touches you touches the apple, the pupil of my eye. Very sensitive is he about thee. This should be encouraging to us all, right? I mean, I'm on fire here. I'm encouraged that God is looking down. Jesus is looking down. He has all the power, all the authority in heaven and in earth. He's the king, and he's protecting me. I may not feel like he's protecting me when someone's coming at me or there's something happening that's against me, but he is. Because that's what the Word of God's saying. And I trust the Word of God, even though it contradicts what all others are saying, and even though it contradicts my own feeling or the circumstance seemingly that surrounds me that's bad. I do not question the Word of God. I question others who question the Word of God. And I may not be able to win the argument, like with the scientists of the day who promote evolution and things like that. I might not be able to convince them they're wrong, or this global warming stuff. I might not be able to convince them that, but I know who's in control. I know who's going to bring the apocalypse. And it's not people burning fossil fuels. It's Jesus Christ. And so I trust the Word of God no matter what. I found my life and established it because He is with me and He's protecting me and He's going to safeguard me because He is Lord of all. All things are put under Him. He is in control. According to this word, all things under His feet. Very positive towards us. It says He fills all things here. Apostle says he fills all things. Right? Which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. So, what does that mean? He fills all things. Well, again, there are a couple of things pointed out here that I have read and heard about and thought about, meditated on, and I'd like to share with you. When He says He fills all things, that means, first and foremost, I think, well, the second thing I want to say is also pretty first and foremost. Both things are important. Firstly, He fills all things means that everything, good and not so good, everything that is happening throughout the world and even in the universe, but let's talk about things that are a little more practical here in this world, including the election coming up, everything, right, finds its purpose and its meaning in Jesus Christ because He created everything, and everything, as the Apostle Paul says in another place in Colossians, is for Him. It's created by Him, for Him. So all this stuff, if you will, that's going on is all for Jesus. It's going to be for Him. I know it doesn't seem like that, but that's what He means here when He says Him who fills all in all. Everything finds its purpose. Everything finds its meaning in Christ. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And each and every piece, each and every happening, each and every part is fulfilling the purpose that God has for them. What is that purpose? What is the meaning? The purpose is to glorify God and the redemption of His people, the Church of Jesus Christ, the elect. It's all working towards that end. It all finds its meaning and its purpose. And again, this is something that it'd be hard or difficult to even convince every Christian of, about. Not every Christian's on the same page here. What do you, really, the reprobate, the bad things, the sicknesses? No, that can't be. That's of the devil. Oh, that's wrong thinking. All power and authority, including the power and authority that the devils have. Right? He's the prince of the power of the air. The devil owns and operates the nations, but it's all according to the power that God, that Jesus Christ gives them. And gives these wicked, evil, sinful people. It's all according to His purpose and His plan. Also, it says He fills all in all. That's a reference to He fills time. That's it. He fills time, not just a moment, but every moment. But what the emphasis is, it's been pointed out that He is. That He has put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. He's filling all times. In other words, you need to focus on what's coming up at the end of this year. What's coming up at the end of this year? Christmas, right? We celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. And here is, when He talks about filling all in all, He's filling up time. That point in time, that's a reference point. That's the focal point. The center of all time is found in the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to earth. That is filling all in all. So there's a reference here to Jesus Christ becoming, well, God's Son becoming incarnate, taking on flesh, and becoming a man. And that changes everything. That if he never came here, we'd be doomed. But he came here. He manifested in the flesh. He came here. And he came here with a purpose to save his people from their sins, to bring forth a perfect salvation for his people. And so there's a focal point here that we need to keep in view, that Jesus Christ is the center of time itself, of everything that's happening that came up to that time and from that time. It's all about Jesus Christ and his church, right? Again, he's the head, she's the body. The head and the body cannot be separate. They are together. He cherishes his body, the church, the people that truly believe, that are elect and chosen. And so he communicates himself to them, and they communicate back to him, like we have done, like we're doing now. But he also fills them with gifts. He fills them with grace. He fills them with things for them to express him, to express not just themselves, but him, through the gifts and the abilities and the talents that he gives them according to the capacity of the person that he has created for that purpose. And so he distributes a variety of different gifts, all showing how magnificent the Lord is. Not any one person can't express all that Jesus is, but all the elect down through the ages, having deposited within them the God's grace to manifest, to show forth his praise in this way and in that way and in this way and in that way, begins to show the expression of his love, the vastness of his power, and his abilities and his talents and his gifts through them. So that's why we're all different, and that's why we have all different gifts and all different capacities, because no one could possibly express all the love of Jesus, all the ability that he has to preach and to teach, and all the mercy and compassion he has. No, it has to be distributed throughout all these many millions and millions of people to just have us glimpse at how wonderful, how powerful, how amazing our Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, that perfect expression of his love and of his mercy and of his talents and of his abilities will not be fully expressed or perfectly expressed until the new heavens and new earth, right? Because we're fallible and we muddy things up and we make a mess of things. But someday that the full expression of Jesus Christ through his people is going to be perfected and made perfect in heaven. And that place is going to be amazing, because each of us are going to express think of it, if you may, as sort of a piece of Christ, a part of Christ. It's not a good way of putting it, but just for argument's sake, each one of us is going to express it in a perfect way, and it's just going to be so beautiful. So beautiful in each and every one of us, coming through each and every one of us perfectly. Remember, no one person can express all the glory of Jesus Christ, but all of us combined can express what he wants to express in humanity, or through humanity, through us all. So it's just going to be an amazing, amazing event that will take place in just a little while. This is what Paul was praying about, that you would appreciate the riches of your inheritance, the power that is at work within you even now. And then coming up to this this third point, that not only Christ expressing the fullness of his of himself filling all in all, but we also fill Jesus Christ. We fill him. Now that's a remarkable statement that's made in verse 23, which is his body, that's referring to us, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So we're the fullness. We're filling Christ. We're filling Christ. Now, how's that work? Is Christ lacking something? Of course not. We have to come along and help him out. And no, that's not what is being said here, that somehow Jesus has lacked something that we add to him. No, what it's saying is we complement what he has already done and what he has given us. We express it. We bring it out. We do his work. We continue to do his work on earth with him and for him. So we're actually, in that sense, filling him. We're bringing Jesus to other people, right? We're bringing Jesus to our family and to our friends. And voila, people are being saved. But it's not because of me or you. It's because Jesus is working through us to will and do his good pleasure. But he's not here. We are. And so he's using us as instruments of his righteousness for his great name's sake. And we're sort of adding to Christ in that way. We're bringing him to 21st century, into the 21st century. We, the people of God, filling him who fills all in all already. He's not lacking anything. But he is fulfilling his purpose with us. That brings us to the conclusion of this whole matter. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful, mighty honor and privilege that we have as Christians when you think about this? When you think about the prayer that Paul's praying for the Ephesians who love Jesus, when you think about the riches and the power that raised Christ from the dead is abiding and living in each and every one of us. Isn't it a mighty privilege? A wonderful honor to be a Christian, to be a child of God. Isn't that positive? Isn't this the most positive thing you have ever heard in your life? Can anyone compare? Can any politician's message compare with this? With this prayer that Paul's praying for other fellow believers, with this power that is at work in you? With this privilege to fill what Jesus started, to fill him up more and more. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters that love Jesus Christ, and I know you do, and like me, I know you're not perfect. You're far from perfect. Perhaps you're a little better than I am, but you're still quite a distance away from perfection. I know everyone here believes that. I don't think anyone here thinks he's a perfectionist or is a perfectionist and thinks that he's perfect in his thought, words, and deeds. I know that. But I want to encourage you, I want to encourage myself that we need to exercise the power of life that God has given us in Jesus Christ. We need to put that strength that God has given us to overcome our weaknesses, that we need to exercise and strain. As Jesus said in another place in the gospel, he said that we ought to strive to enter and strive to enter at the straight gate, right? For broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that walk upon it. The preponderance of people today, and they're proudly doing it, walking on the broad way. But straight and narrow is the gate, is the pathway that leads to eternal life. And few there be. Well, you're on that path. Strain and strive and exercise every single muscle to put Christ's power that is in you, to work. And yes, be positive in a world that really is so negative and is sin-cursed, because Christ is with you. Is in you. And be assured, as one writer puts it, be assured that nothing happens to you apart from him who works all things for your spiritual and your eternal good. If God is with you, who or what can possibly win against you? Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful to be here this day. We're thankful for the message that you have in your word that we have touched upon here and understand a bit. Certainly, there's much more to understand in putting it into practice, as the Ephesians did, as Paul did, and that's going to be for the rest of our days. But we have the most positive message of all to give, and then the most glorious and powerful of works working in us are the same power that raised Christ not only from the grave but to heaven itself, to heaven's glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us. And continue to be with us, we pray. Lead us in your everlasting way. For your great name's sake, we ask all of this in your name. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing a final hymn. Hymn 531, yes. 531. Let's rise up to sing this hymn. Savior, blessed Savior.